For a short time this evening, we'll be talking about, kind of ties in with what's been going on in the world a little while. But we all know last night was the election night, and we now know who our next president is going to be. And for the most part, I haven't talked too much about it with any of my peers or really get involved in a lot of the conversation. But one thing I did get from it is that as a nation or in the world today, the world is very divided right now. There's probably more division here in the past couple years than there have been in quite a while. And with that, you have people talking about how can we come back together? How can we settle our differences? How can we not focus on what makes us different and get back to what makes us similar? And even though that we are to be in the world but not of the world, a lot of times things that happen in the world can kind of be a mirror or can also reflect on what can happen with us as members of Christ's church. And so tonight we're going to be talking about how to live our lives, not just any life, but how we're able to maybe enrich our lives, but not just by ourselves, but together. We want to talk about ways that we can enrich our lives together. And there are many places that we can turn to in the New Testament for a study on enriching our lives together. And I'm sure there's quite a few. Much of the New Testament addresses the subject in one form or another, in one form or fashion. But for this evening, we'll focus mainly on what we find in the book of James. Most of what our verses this evening will come from James. So to begin, on ways that we can enrich our lives together, let's begin by observing things we shouldn't do or shouldn't have if we desire to succeed in enriching our lives together. So things to avoid, first, one is a filthiness, all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Now this evening, it may seem like a pretty simple study or things that many of us probably already know. And a lot of you may be thinking whenever we go through some of this list, you're thinking, well, you know, obviously, duh. But I don't think it ever hurts to review or to look back and focus on maybe some of the basics. The first things to avoid would be all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. James chapter 1, verse 21 reads, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." So we could take this to include any sort of immoral behavior or speech. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, the Bible reads, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of Christ and God." The wise man wrote of the devastating effects of immorality. In Proverbs 6, 27 through 35, the Bible reads, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. Nothing will destroy the precious fellowship that we have in Christ, like, I guess for lack of a better term, sin in the camp. Another thing that we must avoid or give up or do away with is partiality. In James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, the Bible reads, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself,' you will do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." This has been discussed in many lessons before this evening. This is something that we're all, I believe, familiar with. Showing respect of persons, either through partiality or its more malignant cousin, bigotry, makes us sinners before God. We can find this in James chapter 2, verse 9. Fellowship in Christ is designed to bring us together, not to divide us. Just like in the world today, so many people focus on what separates themselves rather than what brings them together. Another thing to avoid is misuse of the tongue. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 gives us an explanation on why we should avoid this. The Bible reads, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yield both salt water and fresh." In James chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, we find that the tongue possesses great power to destroy if we are not careful. Also in James chapter 3, following through 9, verses 9 through 12, it lets us know that when we misuse the tongue to curse men, it reveals a shallowness of our praise of God. Another thing that we should avoid is selfishness. James chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible reads, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" James reveals that the root cause of much strife is nothing more than people being selfish. In James chapter 3, verse 16, he wrote earlier, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there." Another thing we must avoid as Christians is speaking evil of one another. How are we to grow together? How are we to enrich our lives together if we do nothing but speak evil of one another? James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12 reads, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" Now here we learn that speaking evil of one another, evil actually speaking evil of the law and judges the law. Ask yourself, do we want to be guilty of that? We also set ourselves up as judges when there is really only one judge and lawgiver, as the Bible reads. Now this doesn't preclude to the necessity to judge with righteous judgment. We all know that everyone in the world likes to say, well, only God can judge me. You know, you can't judge me. But then we also know as Christians, by leading a good example, we are set up as judges to judge with righteous judgment by comparison and example. But too often we can be guilty of judging others according to our own personal standards. Speaking evil of others is usually an indication of that, and quickly destroys fellowship. These five things can prevent a congregation from enjoying an enriched life together that Christ intends for His church. We need to be diligent never to allow them to affect the relationship that we may have with our friends and family of God. Now, at the same time, everything's not gloom and doom. It's not just a list of things that we can't do. But at the same time, we can take a proactive approach to building fellowship. So we may ask ourselves, what does James have to say about the subject, or what does James counsel us to do? Here are a few things that we can do to enrich our lives together. We can view challenges as opportunities. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Possessing a positive perspective about difficulties is good for anyone, but not just as an individual or on an individual level, but for congregations as well as individuals. Any church that is growing will likely experience problems. There's always going to be obstacles. There may always be things that may cause maintaining peace and harmony to be difficult in ways. But just as marriages are made stronger when spouses are willing to work out their difficulties, so a congregation can be made stronger by its difficulties as well. Also, another thing that we can do to be proactive is to pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 reads, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So to be able to maintain a thriving fellowship and congregation, it requires a bit of wisdom. Just as we should seek wisdom from God as individuals for ourselves, so also we should seek it for a congregation. Yet another step that we can take is to maintain proper perspectives about our situations. James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 reads, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." Congregations are made up of a lot of different people, a lot of different background. And a lot of times when you have people of such variety, it can cause issues. Fellowship is often disrupted by things such as envy or pride. But God gives us reasons to be thankful for whatever situation in which we find ourselves. If all the members of a congregation are willing to see themselves as God sees them, there wouldn't be any room for pride, and there wouldn't be any place for envy. Another thing we must strive to do is to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 reads, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of a man does not produce the righteousness of God." Poor communication and short tempers will quickly destroy any friendship, relationship, any type of business venture. How many times have we been in a conversation with somebody, or a dispute or an argument? 9 times out of 10, the reason for the dispute or the argument is, one, a misunderstanding, or poor communication. The same thing can happen on the level of, with a congregation. Poor communication, and sometimes a short temper, can destroy a relationship. But if we all kept this in the back of our mind, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, problems can be gracefully handled and overcome. When I was younger, my parents would constantly tell me that we had one mouth and two ears because we were supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. If everybody kind of thought that way in the world, I tell you, it'd be a much better place, I believe. We are also to practice pure and undefiled religion. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27 reads, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." This concept involves each of us. To be doers of the word, and not just hearers. Letting our actions speak louder than our words. Attending the needs of the less fortunate or the ones in need. To keeping ourselves untainted by the world. I mean, you may ask yourself this. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful to have fellowship and a congregation where all are true practitioners of this kind of religion? Now, everyone knows that congregation is made up of a lot of different people that have a lot of different gifts and a lot of different skill sets. And I can tell you, I kind of fall short when it comes to visiting those who are ill or who may be in need. But I know that there are some that excel at that, and they do a great job. It involves all of us. Another thing that we can focus on is to demonstrate wisdom by our conduct. James chapter 3, verse 13 reads, "He who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Again, we are letting our actions speak louder than our words. Also, we need to pray for one another. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we are praying for one another, or when we are praying for others, it kind of makes it hard to be angry at them. When we know others are praying for us, it's hard not to want to love them. When we are praying for each other, not only is our fellowship with God strengthened, but our fellowship and our connection with one another is that much stronger as well. We also need to attempt to restore the erring. James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20 reads, Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. We know that this happens sometimes. We know that there are a few that may stray away from the faith. When people stray from the faith, we lose the benefit of their fellowship with us. We feel it. Restoring them back to God not only saves them, but blesses us with their renewed fellowship. In conclusion for this evening, this quick just study, or this talk, if you will, the book of James illustrates many of the good things that we can do, as I said, to enrich our lives, not just as individuals, but more importantly, to enrich our lives together. As it was said before, there are many places in the New Testament that are filled with admonitions of this, but James, I think, puts it in a way to where we can understand it simply. Not only to enhance our relationship with God, but also to enhance our fellowship with one another. Let the Word of God be our guide to creating and maintaining our lives here together. So how is our relationship? Something that we can think on. Are there ways for us to improve? Are there things that we need to strive more to avoid? This is something that we can think about as we continue on as a congregation, and as we continue on in the world today. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, we would ask that you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.